Start from the beginning of Parshas Truma, page 444, yes, don't flemish. Beginning of Parakafes, the Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe l'mor." Hashem speaks to Moshe, saying, "Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikhu li truma, and you should take for me a truma, you should take for me a portion. V'yis kolish asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es truma sif." Everybody whose heart motivates them to give, you should take the take this amount. And Rashi right away points out the kli shema li lishmi. That has to be done for the right reasons, the right intentions. And not just that, it sounds like and Rashi says the yidvenu libo, that he wants to give, the person's motivated to give it. It sounds fairly clear that the person has to want to do it, and it's not going to be that we're going to force the person to give. Which might be a little bit surprising. You would think, again, what are we collecting the money here for? We're collecting the money for the Mishkan. And for something like this, you might think, everybody's going to have to pay a certain amount, and we're going to require that everybody pay a certain amount. And yet, the Torah tells us very clearly that the donations to the Mishkan need to be voluntary. And these are the portions that you need to take. Zahav, chesef, v'nechoshes, gold, silver, and copper, okay, all the different things, different fabrics, different dyes, different metals, the leather, fine, vav shemen lamor, you take the oil, stones, okay, and then we get to the pasuk at the bottom of the page. What are you going to do with all these things? What are you taking this truma for? To make for me a mikdash, v'shachanti v'socham. To make for me a mikdash, and I will dwell among them. So there are a few difficulties which seem to stand out. First is the order seems fairly strange. That if you're going to have this big campaign to try and raise money for building the Mishkan, so you would have thought that the first thing that you should say is by Daber Hashem and Moshe Limor, Hashem, speak to Moshe saying, Asulim Mikdash, Veshachanti Besocham, make for me a Mikdash, I will dwell amongst you. In order to build a Mikdash, then Daber Abba Neisav, Vichli Truma. It's not going to exist on its own. You need to give donations. You need to give something towards the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. But to start giving the entire appeal and convincing the people to give by just saying, and Hashem wants money, and he wants you to give money, and he wants the gold and the silver, everything else. And in the end, he says, okay, and now that we have all these things, what are you going to do with it? You're going to build for me a mikdash. It sounds to be a little bit backwards. So why is it that the Torah first tells us what to collect, and only afterwards says, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham? It's interesting also that the Torah uses the word mikdash. As we know, what's actually constructed is the Mishkan, and throughout it's referred to as the Mishkan. So it seems to indicate there's some sort of connection, which is not, I don't think it's so surprising to us, that the Mishkan is the beginning of the, is like the temporary Beis HaMikdash, that this is going to be the first structure which is used for some sort of Avodat Hashem. And afterwards, it will transform itself into a mikdash, but it's one long mitzvah. But the biggest problem, the language also v'shachanti b'socham seems a little bit strange. It's in the plural. It should be v'shachanti b'socho. It should be, I was well inside of the mikdash, not b'socham, not within them. But the biggest
inside of you. Like amongst you as a people, as opposed to them.
Right. That also, right. If you want to refer to the mikdash, right, or refer to, right, but amongst them, sounds, I mean, yes, but Socham could have been that. And you're referring to all the people, not just the individuals.
But he's talking to them, so why would he say amongst you? He's not talking.
Right, but it does say the Asuli mikdash. Meaning, so he's talking in the plural to the Asuli. You should build for me.
It's okay. Instead of you.
Yeah.
That's what right. Okay. I think the simplest would have been b'socho inside of the mikdash. It's also the mikdash v'shachanti b'socho. In the context of the pasuk, I think the simplest thing would have been inside the mikdash. Again, which is this pasuk seems to be telling us the purpose of everything that's happening until now. You're collecting all this money. What's it all for? Now, if it's basically mikdash, then I'm going to dwell inside the people. We could understand it, but it's not exactly parallel in terms of the purpose of the pasuk. Okay, let's have a way we have to understand why the Torah used a different language there. But the biggest problem of all really is, and this is a problem, I guess, which, if you think about it, should be bothersome in other contexts as well, is, you know, the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan serve such a central role, and even a shul serves a very central role. And in a certain sense, it's very antithetical to the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God being everywhere. If Hashem is everywhere, and you can access Hashem everywhere, and we just, you know, Parshas Yitzchak was not so long ago, and then Aseret HaDibros, we make it very clear, you're not supposed to have anything physical, you're not supposed to be having, and you're not supposed to, you know, relate to other items. So what's this whole physical mikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're the nation which is bringing to the world this idea of a God who's everywhere, who can't be seen, and we don't have to, who doesn't have a form, and none of that bothers us. That's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about. So why would it be that we would have this mikdash, this one place in which everything is, you know, gold, silver, everything is completely physical, and that's the place where you can relate to, that's the place where you can relate to Hashem. Every person in their own, at their own kotel, you know, in their house, every person wherever they are, they should be able to relate to Hashem. And it really almost undermines a lot of what we would think Judaism is bringing to the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God is everywhere, and yet it says build the physical mikdash, and in the physical mikdash, that's where everything is going to be, the Hashiras Hashkina is going to be strongest. It's almost counterintuitive to what we would have thought Judaism is bringing to the world. So that's, I think, is really the biggest problem. And again, if we think about our yearning for the Beis HaMikdash and how central a role the Beis HaMikdash plays, or how much we want it to play in our lives, it really, you know, have to take a step back and kind of think, well, why is that? What's wrong? Why can't we relate to our Kaddish? Why do we even need to have a shul? Why do we need to have central locations in which we can relate to Hashem? Hashem is everywhere. He relates to us as individuals. Okay, maybe every so often we need a place. So there is a concept of a tzibur, of a people, you know, beseeching Hashem. But to have one place, that this is the place in the world where the Shechina is somehow more powerful and more potent, and this is the place to access Hashem and to do the karbanos and everything else, it really seems to undermine a lot of what we've brought to the world about what Hashem is. Okay. So, just one or two interesting points just to start off with. What is the word mikdash even, what does the word mikdash mean? So Rashi tells us, v'asu li mikdash, you should make a mikdash, v'asu l'shmi beis kedusha. You should make for me a holy house, for my name a holy house. Again, doesn't exactly define what it is, but mikdash clearly is coming from the same language as kadosh, as holy, and you'll have this place, which is the holy place at which you can relate to me. And many of the Rishonim assume like that as well. However, the Rashbam and others say that mikdash is from Lashon of Moed, it's a gathering place. And at the root of what the Beis HaMikdash is it's a central location. As a central location, it becomes the place of Hashras Hashkina, it becomes the place in which we do these holy things, but in its root, it's really defined as a meeting place, and maybe the most fundamental meeting that takes place is the meeting between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Not just a gathering place for Bnei Yisrael, but it's a place at which we gather to Hashem. So it's not I'm not sure if there's a major difference between them other than just understanding of the word, but according to Rashi, understand it's more the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is here, that's the definition of the Mikdash. While according to the Rashbam and others, it's the fact that it's a place for Bnei Yisrael to meet Hashem, that's what defines it as a Mikdash.
Isn't it Ohel Moed? Like, why wouldn't it be called that? If that's what its central purpose was.
I mean, they're synonyms. The Rashbam brings other places, meaning Lashon Moed, to come from. He's trying to define for us in a term that we understand. He brings sources, She'es Kadesh Ve'es Tamin Aleihem, that I should appear and meet with them. Meaning, he's bringing sources that the word Kadosh means that. Why, once we have the...
Uh-huh.
That's what he's trying. He's just putting it into a term which we could, you know, unequivocally understand. So by putting it as moed, so then that just tells us that that's the way kadosh is being used here. Okay. Once that's shuar that word, then I don't know if that's as bothersome. But correct. He's not just changing the word. He's saying that's the definition which the Torah is using in this context. Okay. Again, the most fundamental issue. And then I think once we understand that, then we can hopefully understand some of the smaller questions. But the most fundamental issue was really, what's the purpose of the Mikdash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is everywhere? And Shlomo HaMelech even says in Sefer Malachim, after he builds the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech himself he says, you know, basically he says that, you know, this is something which is made, like, you fill up the Hashemayim Va'aretz, you fill up Hashemayim Va'aretz Lo Yechalkeluch, the earth and the heavens can't contain you, and he's a bias, and this bias that I'm building, that's going to contain you. So Shlomo HaMelech, who spent his entire, you know, spent so much time building the Beis HaMikdash and finally completes the Beis HaMikdash, he himself recognizes the fact that there's something strange about this concept of Beis HaMikdash, that how can it be that there's one place which somehow contains God. It seems to be a very foreign concept to what we believe. So what exactly is going on here? So Rashi says in a few places based on Midrashim, Rashi says that, I think one is in Perek Lamed Aleph. Yeah, Rashi says in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches, in Parshas Kisisa, I don't know the exact page number.
Page 492.
So Rashi says, "Vayitena Moshe, ein muktam u'muchav haTorah." There's no, again, we spoke about this a little bit on Shabbos. But the order of the Torah is not necessarily in chronological order. Maise ha'egel, the sin with the golden calf, kodem letzivoy meleches hamishkan yomim rabim hayam. The sin with the golden calf, if the egel hazad, took place before the commandment to build the Mishkan. Again, he's pointing out that of order because, and that's in, 2 weeks from now is Parshas Kisisa. We're reading Parshas Truma this week with the commandment for the Mikdash. As far as we know, nothing happened yet with the golden calf. It's going to happen, 2 weeks from now. But Rashi's telling us you should realize that the episode of the golden calf preceded the commandment to make the Mishkan. And the Midrashim make it even more explicit. Not only did it precede it, but it was a reaction to it. And that the only reason that we were commanded to build the Mishkan was because of what happened with the Chet HaEgel. Had the Chet HaEgel not occurred, then maybe there wouldn't have been this concept of a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash. So why exactly is that? What exactly does that?
What do they use as a basis for that? You know, such clear idea that the first thing
They learned it out of some sukkim, and I think that's the way that they understood it. Rashi's based on midrashim. He's not saying this on his own. It's really a collection of at least three different chazals. Just he kind of summarizes it in his own words. There are reasons based on the psukim that Moshe seems to know certain things which he maybe shouldn't have known at that time. You know, he's aware of the Egel before the Mishkan, so then that's a chronological problem. But again, as we'll see, not all the Rishonim accepted. So
there's room to possibly have it the other way.
We'll see. We'll talk about it shortly. But that's what Rashi says. And again, it sounds almost shockingly that had it not been for the Chetah Egel, then we wouldn't have a Mishkan, we wouldn't have a Beis HaMikdash. And it's not a bad thing. And maybe it's even a better thing. Maybe that would have been an ideal, but somehow, because of the sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that we needed a Mishkan. And the Svarno in our parsha, I think, really says a very similar idea. The Svarno says that in Perek Chaf Hei, in Pasuk Tes, it says that at the end, at the conclusion of all the instructions of what to make, it says that you'll make everything that I said, the chen tasu, and you'll do it. The Sforno says, the chen tasu, this is what you should do, atem, this is what you should do, this is what you should do, kedei she'eshkon v'sochachem, so that I should dwell amongst you, v'daberi mechol l'kavel tfilas avodas Yisrael, in order to speak to you, to Moshe, and to accept the tfilas of Bnei Yisrael. Lo kimoshe haya inyan kodem ha'ego, and not as it was before the ego, before the Egel, it was that b'chol ha'makom, anywhere you're going, avoy lacha, you can relate to me, and I will come to you. But all that changed with the Chetah Egel, and the way the Sforno says it sounds even more difficult to understand. And now we can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we go. What exactly does the Sforno mean? And the problem does run a little bit deeper, because how is this going to solve the problem of the Chetah Egel? If anything, it's the Chetah Egel revisited. If the problem with the Chetah Egel was that Bnei Yisrael were supposed to relate directly to Hashem, and instead of relating directly to Hashem, they decide, you know, we can't relate directly to you, God. We need to have something physical in order to be able to relate to you. So now, instead of an Egel, so now they've just replaced the Egel. Now, you know, Egel equals Mishkan. So what exactly was solved? If anything, you know, if the ego was such a big problem, so maybe Hashem should have said, you know, I'm going to make sure there's nothing, you know, we have to reinforce these rules about not having anything physical. And yet that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So some of the Midrashim say that it was just a way to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintained his relationship even after the Chetah Egel. That they shouldn't think that they were, that Bnei Yisrael were abandoned after they sinned to God, and again, in such a drastic way, after having experienced everything that he had done for them, he wanted to show, he gave them this special place to show that I'm still with you. But it doesn't really address the fundamental problem. So, what it seems to be is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that through the Chetah Egel, and it's not that he didn't know that it was going to happen before, not, I didn't even realize in that sense, but that he gave Bnei Yisrael the opportunity, and he gave the Bnei Yisrael the opportunity to react in an intense way with Hashem in every context, like the Sforno was saying. That was the way that their relationship originally existed. Anywhere you want to relate to me, you're going to have that ability. But
wondering, according to the Mepharshim, like, if, hypothetically, there wasn't the need for the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan because there wouldn't have been the Chetah Egel, so would there have still been Bamos and Korbanos?
I would think so, because the concept of a Korban, even from the Korban Pesach, already exists. You find the Avos bringing Korbanos. I assume it just would have been a private way. It wouldn't have been that in order to bring a Korban, I have to be in Yerushalayim on the Harabayas.
So in other words, like,
that way of relating to Hashem, I think, would still exist.
So the Chetah Egel made there be a place, but also like a communal aspect to...
Maybe, right, that might be part of it also, right. But a central way for us to relate to Hashem, correct.
A very concrete way, it's a
So maybe that might be the answer, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem realized is that he gave us this opportunity, and again, and he certainly knew that it wasn't going to work, but he decided that he needed to give us the chance to relate to him on this level. Once it didn't work and we weren't able to relate to him, it was basically our way of saying that to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely in an abstract way, And without this central place, then on this, maybe even on this constant basis of the Kedusha being everywhere, is too much for us to be able to handle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, okay, but what you have to realize is that if I'm going to put anything into a physical form, then you have to realize that it has to be a physical form that's ordained by me. And that's the major difference between what happens with the Chet HaEgel and what happens in the Mikdash, is that, yes, in a certain sense, the had Bnei Yisrael on their own built a Mishkan, that would have been a violation of the Asaras HaDibros, probably, of making something physical through which to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it could have been that the Chet HaEgel could have been, you know, called the Chet HaMishkan. It could have been that Bnei Yisrael, instead of building an Egel, would have built a Mishkan. They would have built a physical place and said, you know, this is the place to relate to God. What differentiates the Mishkan in terms of how it's being used from what existed in the time of the Chet HaEgel was the fact that this HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm giving you this way. And by giving us this way, it helps us channel this energy that we have that we need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a physical way. And hopefully, if we know that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we realize that we're not using intermediary. We're just using this as a place in which we can sort of, you know, gather together our energy and focus it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by building the Mishkan, even though it's physical, it's a reaction to the Egel, but it takes on the divine form because it was ordained by Hashem. And by doing that, Hashem was, I think, was telling us, I'm going to give you ways to relate to me. And by doing that, you shouldn't think that you need to latch onto anything else. And even these things, you don't need to latch onto. It's a way of again, trying to center and centralize these energies that Bnei Yisrael had in order to channel them towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Well, also, the amount of effort that has to go into it makes it even more important. And it's carried on to this day, because that's what communities do. They build shuls and mikvahs.
Correct.
And it takes a lot of energy. You become very invested in it.
Right. No, that's all true. I think we'll see that even more in a moment. But right, even if you see it as what we would call like a bidyeved, you know, this was a last resort that they had, that, you know, wasn't part of the initial plan, still it was designed in such a way that it related to our weakness and allowed us to channel our weakness in a way that we could still reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that's what the Sforno was saying. I don't think it's what the Sforno was saying necessarily that it's a lower level now. It's just a different way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was the original way, which again wasn't so successful. It wasn't the way that we were able to handle, and therefore Hashem had to turn things a little bit in terms of being able to channel us in a way that would better suit us.
What bothers me though is why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand the Yetzer of the person?
I think he did. He gives us the opportunity.
Yeah, but something about it, just like why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that the Chet HaEgel was?
He did.
In what way?
He knew it was going to happen.
So he allowed, even though he knew.
You can ask that question on any, Bechira type question.
That's true.
But he gave them that opportunity. Now, did he know they weren't going to succeed? He didn't know they were going to succeed. But in, you know, his plan that he needed to, you know, Bnei Yisrael could never come back and say, you know, you never gave us the opportunity to relate to you. Again, what exactly the reason is? Maybe it was something in us that we needed to see that, you know, that life is something that we need the Mishkan, that we need the Mikdash. And maybe it even teaches us the centrality of that, because we were unable to relate to our, as a nation at least, we were unable to relate to our Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way. But again, it's hard to know exactly what the plan was, but that's...
I understand.
Right. The Ramban overtakes a different approach. It's actually parallels the Machlukas that I mentioned on Shabbos, in the Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban here, he says, how can it be? He says, you know, Ein Muktam Umach of our Torah only goes so far. But he goes, you know, we have this whole parsha of Truman and Tzav, all this before the Chet HaEgel. He says it has to be that the Mishkan preceded the Chet HaEgel, and Bnei Yisrael had the Mishkan already at the time of the Chet HaEgel. So what was the purpose of the Mishkan? And doesn't it really fly in the face of what Matan Torah was about? It was about this chance to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as individuals and not to have these physical manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what the Ramban says is that, no, part of the original plan was that Hashem wanted that the the revelation that took place at Har Sinai should be something that Bnei Yisrael should take with them for all time. And that was the purpose of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan was sort of to take that experience of the Shekhinah coming down that took place at Matan Torah and to find a way to permanently keep that in Bnei Yisrael. A Rebbe once who said what Ramban basically saying is that the Mishkan was a mobile Sinai unit. It was a way of kind of taking Har Sinai with you wherever you're going. Wherever you're going, that experience of Matan Torah needs to travel with you. And in a certain sense, it really represents a lot of what the goal in of life is, and the challenge. I saw last night that Rav Pinkus writes in his Sefer that if you think about it, you know, the Beis Hamikdash is this, the holiest of places. If you would walk into the Beis Hamikdash and just take a look at what's going on, so first of all, you have these beautiful golden things, and you have gold and silver, everything, Gashmius as you can get. I mean, it's everything beautiful. This beautiful menorah. It says you have these people, they have the Kohanim walking around in their beautiful clothes, and they're standing knee deep in blood, and there are animals being shechted all over the place, and there are these beautiful spices that are being brought up. There's, on the surface, absolutely nothing spiritual going on. The Avodas HaKorbanos, it seems like, they're taking their portion of meat, and some of it has to be eaten in the Azara, mm-hmm. and some of it they weren't davening. The main purpose of Mikdash wasn't the Shmon Esrays and the Tefillah B'Tzibur. The purpose of the Mikdash was the Avoda and the lighting of the Menorah. Everything was physical. He said that was really part of what the message of the Mikdash was about. Was about that you can take the physical and use it in the Avodas Hashem, and that's why in the place it's sort of he calls it the ladder which connects this world with the spiritual world, is that the Beis Hamikdash is that place where you can take all of the physicality of the world and you can have all the gold and all the silver and the animals and the spices and everything that's there in the physical form, and you can use it in Avodas Hashem. And that's really what the Beis HaMikdash is there for, is this constant reminder that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in the world has a purpose and can be used in a spiritual way. And that, in that sense, the Beis HaMikdash certainly was a lechatchila. Because it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah can only be in this place, but it was that He gave us a place where we could see that everything that exists in the world can be used towards Avodas Hashem. But at the same time, it does certainly give the appearance, if there are halachos, the Kohen Gadol can only go, you can't go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim except on Yom HaKippurim. It certainly seems like the Shekhinah is stronger there, which again, it still needs to be better understood. So why should that be? So fine, have one central location where we can see the Avodas HaKorbanos, but for the Shekhinah to be stronger there, doesn't that still seem to be, taking away from our ability to more broadly access HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And again, Ramban is saying this was the way the world was designed. This was part of the original plan. It wasn't that first we were supposed to have, relate to God wherever we are, and after the Chet HaEgel, then we had the Mishkan and the Mikdash. The Mikdash was central all along. So I saw the following idea developed in a few different places, and the Rav says it's not surprisingly, most beautifully. I don't even think about it. Obviously, God doesn't need a home. God's everywhere. God can make himself, is everywhere, can make himself felt more strongly wherever he wants. He doesn't need a home. But he says, so what does it mean when you have a base Hashem, when you have a house of Hashem? Is the reason that Hashem did it is because man is basically a homeless being. Because the same way when we think of somebody who's homeless is exposed, completely exposed. Right? They're exposed to the elements, exposed to everything that's out there. And he says that's basically the definition of man. You could be in the nicest, most beautiful house, but man lives a life of being exposed. We never know what's going to happen in the future. There's no way for us to be able, there's no way for us to be completely secure and not to be vulnerable at all. That's the life that we live. And in that sense, we're even more homeless than animals, because animals, they could be roaming around without a house, but they don't have a concept of what's going to be in the. They don't have a concept of what's going to be in the future, and they don't feel that insecurity. But man, in a certain sense, as the Rav puts it, is homeless, because no matter what house we're in, we're always exposed to. We don't know what's going to happen. We always lack that sense of security. So he says, what's the only home that can give a person security? The only home that can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu security is Hashem. We know that Hashem is called Makom. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. One of the names that we refer to Hashem is Makom. What does it mean? That God is place. So Chazal tells us that Makom means that Hu Makomo Shel Olam. He's the place of the world. What exactly is that? So again, if you understand that being homeless doesn't refer to whether or not you have a roof over your head, but it refers to the idea that sometimes we're exposed and we have no way of feeling security. So the only way we can find a little bit of security is by trying to attach ourselves and becoming as close as possible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the only one who ultimately can provide that security. And that's what Hashem's name of Makom means. So he says that when Hashem told Moshe they need to build a Mishkan, it wasn't for providing a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God doesn't need a house. But it provided man with a place where he can feel that closeness, that security, and that close relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what Hashem did, he says it beautifully. He says, God feigns loneliness as if he needs the home for himself in order to live with us. But actually, it's not for him, it's for us. So Hashem makes it look, okay, I need a house, build me the house. He doesn't need a house, but he builds the house of Hashem so that when we come in and we don't have that place, we don't have that sense of security, we have a place where we can feel closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, God feigns loneliness, says, I need a home, because he wants man to build a home for man himself. It was for Klal Yisrael to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way in which people need, and that was why Hashem told Moshe to build the Mishkan. And if you understand like that, so then I think all the other questions would fall away also. Why was it that they had to collect the funds? Why didn't they tell everybody, oh, you have to pay a certain amount? Why is it only if you want to pay? You can't force someone into understanding this concept, into buying into this idea of having a house where he can relate to Hashem. If it was for God's purpose, and if it was for God's house, then yes, he forced everybody to do it. But ultimately, if man is going to be able to take advantage of what this base Hashem has to offer, then he has to buy into it. If you're not going to have the people wanting to give it and wanting to create this place in which they can feel this closer relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not going to happen. And that's also why it says, Vasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Besocham. Because ultimately the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash was that Hashem should be able to dwell in us. It's that we'll come to the Beis Hashem, and that will be a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come, Kaviyach, whatever, inside of us. Is that he can create in this place where there's a more intense feeling of the Shekhinah from our perspective, and Hashem designed it in such a way, then it allows for us to be able to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu more deeply into our lives. So that's what the Ramban is saying, that all along, it wasn't that Hashem needed the house, and it wasn't even that we needed a physical way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that we needed to have a special place in which we can try to establish a deeper relationship to Hashem. And of course we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever else he is.
How does that work with the Kadosh Kadoshim only for the Kohen Gadol, though?
Because part of the way in which he did it was, again, if we didn't perceive, again, obviously the Shekhinah, it's hard to determine exactly what it means, the Shekhinah is in certain places, but it was designed in such a way that we perceive, meaning we need to have halachos which explain to us, which make us experience the fact that this is a Makom Kadosh.
That's the whole Beis HaMikdash.
Right, but
so
again,
where does the Kadosh Kadoshim have to have a very special place of even more Kedusha?
Again, because, again, I think, again, he doesn't explain all this, but what I would assume is that, again, for us to have this, perspective, it requires that there be levels. Meaning, if all the mikdash is the same, then you don't have that same experience. But the fact that there are these differentiations and there are all these different aspects to the Beis HaMikdash, I think, just makes it part of this, you know, beautiful house in which we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there. And yet, it is there. I'm not trying to say that the Shekhinah is not there more. Just the purpose of the Shekhinah being shown there more was not because Hashem needed a place for His Shekhinah. It was because we needed a place for His Shekhinah to be. So yes, in the end, like as the Torah says, the reason the Kodesh HaKadoshim is different is because the Shekhinah is Shora on top of the Aron Kodesh, which is inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the main thrust of what he's trying to say is that the reason wasn't because, we shouldn't think that the reason because Hashem needs a place, but it's because, and it's not even that we need a place that we're, because we need something physical to wait to Hashem, but it's that we need a place to go where we can feel that Hashras HaShekhinah, so that we can, you know, sort of recharge our batteries. If you understand like this, it helps us maybe think a little bit, you know, we don't realize what we're missing without the Beis HaMikdash. And it's not just, you know, Avodas HaKorbanos, and it's not just, you know, that there should be a cultural center for Kal Yisrael. It's that to have a place where we can feel that sense of security, to be able to go somewhere, and when we're in that place, we can feel that we don't have these vulnerabilities, that I know that, you know, I have this close relationship to Hashem, and I don't have to feel that I'm insecure, because I know that I'm in the lack of a better term, the shadow of Hashem. I'm in this big Hashem that He established for us. So it's hard for us to even realize what we're missing. But I think with this perspective, we understand a little better that it wasn't just another way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was a gift that Hashem gave us in order to be able to relate more directly to Him, and in a way that would really impact us to the point of Asli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, so that when you make this Beis HaMikdash, if Bnei Yisrael come to the Beis HaMikdash, then I'll be sure inside of Bnei Yisrael, because each of them will experience what it means to come to Mikdash, and if they walk away with that experience, then they'll come out changed people. They're not going to come out the same. So again, that's just I'm just a little abbreviated today, but that's the two different perspectives. You have the perspective that the Mikdash was a response to Bnei Yisrael's weakness, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I gave you the opportunity to relate to me directly, but after I see that the Nechet HaEgel, that wasn't the way that you're going to be able to succeed, so He gave us another opportunity through a divinely ordained, you know, mikdash with these are the rules, these are the parameters, so now everything's okay, and you realize that you have to stick to these rules. If they would have made their own mishkan on their own, that might have been the same violation as the Chet HaEgel. But now that it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that opportunity, so He gives us this way, which He says, at this time, this is the best way for you to relate. And then the Ramban says, no, it's this mobile Sinai unit. It's a way to be able to continue the Hashras HaShekhinah, so that constantly, wherever we go, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our midst. And as the Ram said, ultimately not for the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Beis Hashem is a bias where Hashem allows us to come in and be able to experience the Beis HaMikdash. And however, I soon we should have the Beis HaMikdash once again.